Good evening, Glenn. We got a good lesson for you tonight. Turn your book to chapter 16, Misuse of Authority and God's Governmental Discipline. We've taken these scriptures here out of Numbers 20 and verses 2 and 3. Then we're going to move down a little bit further, look at some other scriptures. But this lesson here deals with authority that misused God's government and God's authority. And we're going to find out how God deals with his governmental discipline. He called it governmental discipline because it's discipline when it comes to leadership. Remember, God does the correcting. And all correcting comes from above, on high. It's not the people's job that was following Moses' job to correct Moses. It was God's job to correct Moses. And starting at verse 2, chapter 20 in the book of Numbers, it says, "And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against," that's that word again, against, I told you that's a rebellious word, "against Moses and against Aaron." And notice, I want you to notice something real peculiar or particular about this instances of correction here, is that even though the people came against Moses, God never mentioned the people this time. For some reason, God overlooked their fault because he saw a need. And I believe in my own heart that sometimes God will have mercy upon our soul. When I say soul, I'm talking about our reaction sometimes, our mental standing, and sometimes rebellion. I never said this too many times before. That could be rebellious in the head, but not in the heart. Why I say that? Sometimes rebellious thought to come, but doesn't mean it's in your heart. The enemy has a way to inflict thoughts into your head, but thoughts sometimes not really born because it's not in your heart. You've probably experienced that sometimes. You say some things out of your head, out of anguish, out of hurt, or whatever it was, but it really was not in your heart. I'm trying to get somewhere here. It really was not in your heart. So I heard one man say, "Don't judge my heart, judge my head on this." And so I understand that to a certain degree. Because sometimes rebellious thoughts do come. Sometimes emotions do flare up. But doesn't mean it's a heart issue. No, it don't mean it got down deep enough in your heart to God to recognize it as true rebellion. And so I kind of think this is what Moses was dealing with. But for 40, almost 40 years up the road now, they've almost come into the place of the promised land. In almost 40 years of dealing with these people, I think Moses just got a little tired of their anguish and the reaction to him. And I think Moses, for a moment, took something personal here. He took it personal that God didn't react personal. Now watch. After we read, you're going to understand a little bit better what I'm saying. And so you got to study the scripture and study them close. And Brother Nee brings out so many good points here that I have to go with them on this. And so we can get an understanding what just happened to Moses here. Why God reacted toward Moses the way he reacted toward leadership. Why God didn't blame the people and God corrected Moses. Okay, let's go on here now. I hope you understand what I'm trying to get at you or get to you. And the people showed with Moses. Showed means they quarreled with him. One translation say they argued with him, but it never said they rebelled against him. And I watched the scripture real closely when I got it. I've been seeing this over the years, but I never saw it like I saw it this time. And so the people showed with Moses and spake, saying, "Would God that we had died with our brethren when our brethren died before the Lord." Well, he's talking way back with Dathan, Barah, and when they got mixed up with with the wrong folks, saying the wrong thing, and rebellion had gotten to a lot of their heart. But I think God took out the really truly rebellious one and spared and had mercy on those that had not really got deep down into their hearts yet. You see, because God spared them. They're the one that headed to the promised land now. They're the one that gonna cross the Jordan River. So we're talking about 30 years, over 30 years down the road here now, what happened here. Now, let's move on to number 23, 20 and 23. We're gonna look at a couple of scriptures here. Numbers 20 and 23. Now, this is after God dealt with them. Now God is bringing Moses to a point of saying, hey, I got to deal with you, Moses. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebel. He didn't say anything about the people rebelling. He said, he was talking about Aaron and Moses. Now ye rebel against my word at the water of Meribah. Now, watch this close, Clapton, because something is fixing to transpire here that you need to see and understand. Now, he said, take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garment, and put them upon Eleazar, his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people and shall be there. In other words, Aaron is about to give up the ghost, and his son is going to take Aaron's place as the high priest to carry out Aaron's position with Moses. So Eleazar is going to be as Aaron was to Moses. Now, 28 verse 8, and Moses stripped Aaron of his garment and put them upon Eleazar, his son, and Aaron died there in the top of the mount, and Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. Now, this is amazing here. This is amazing how God deals with authority now. Now, let's turn your Bible over to Deuteronomy, because we're going to see another instance here that really revealed what really happened and why God dealt with Moses and Aaron the way he dealt with Moses and Aaron. He's going to reveal this, what sin that Moses committed against the Lord. And the Lord, 48, Deuteronomy 32, 48, we're going to read through the 52nd verse. Pay close attention, class, because this is a very, very important issue here. And so you want to be mindful as authority when you're dealing with authority with God's people. And you have to have the same heart that God has toward his people. And you can't operate in your own mind toward the people and let your human side rule. It has to be spiritual authority. In other words, find out what God's feeling is towards something. Find out what God's will toward his people are. And don't try to make correction according to your emotion, your human side. And sometimes people can vex you. I understand that. But at the same time, you have to recognize what God's feeling are toward this. And we're going to find out that God's feeling was totally different from Moses' reaction. God had mercy on these people. God overlooked their sin. God overlooked their murmuring at this time. And because God knew that these people traveled for over 30 years and they really had committed to the better part of what he wanted, or they wouldn't have got this far. Now, I'm saying a lot, but let the scripture speak for itself. 48 verse said, Deuteronomy 32, 48, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Now, this is after he had come down the mountain with Aaron. But hold on. It's a reenactment. Deuteronomy has a reenactment of what had happened in Numbers 20, but he goes into more detail in Deuteronomy, the cause and effect of Moses' action here. All right, let's read the 48 verse again. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day. What selfsame day? The same day that he made his misstep. I call it a misstep with the children of Israel. Get thee upon this mountain, Abiram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto thee, unto the children of Israel, for a possession. 50 verse. And die in the mount, whither thou goest, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in the Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Now, God is about to tell Moses, you're not going to the promised land. But get ready, because it's your mission is over. 51st verse says, because ye trespass against me. Now, he's giving them the verdict or his sentences toward Moses and his judgment concerning what he had done. Because ye trespass against me, sin against me. One translation or one definition is, I wish I had wrote it down, but it was saying that Moses broke one of his laws that he couldn't overlook. Because you trespass against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, the wilderness of Zin, because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. We're going to go into that deeper when we begin to get to our notes. 52 verse or 52nd verse says, yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give the children of Israel. Now, those three sections of scriptures here going to bring us to another level of this lesson we're teaching on authority, dealing with those that are in authority. Correction from God himself towards Moses and Aaron on they're dealing with the people of Israel. And it lets you know that you can't get connected or caught up too much thinking they are your people. Always remember that authority is dealing with God's people. And it's sort of easy sometimes to let yourself go and to extent thinking that they are your people. And you can say what you want to say to them, do what you want to do to them. And God find in the scripture here that Moses couldn't. You couldn't take personal ownership. And Moses never separated himself from the people and God when he dealt with the people. It should have been a separation from Moses and God. At that time, Moses should have made known unto the people that it wasn't God saying this, it's me saying this. Because if you don't watch it, the people associate you with God. And your attitude sometimes make them think that's God's attitude towards you. At that time, God wasn't saying that, what Moses said. God had nothing to do with Moses said. And that's why God had to deal with Moses, because he don't want anybody to misrepresent his authority. Now let's go into the notes here. Brother Neger explained it better than I'm trying to explain it, but I know what I'm saying. I do know what I'm saying. But let's read with point one. After 30 years of wandering in the wilderness, the people of Israel again forgot the lesson they had learned through their rebellion. When they came to the wilderness of Zin and found no water, they once again contended with Moses and Aaron, uttering many unpleasant words. Now, you got to read the whole 20th chapter to get the whole gist of this, because you can see some of the things they say. We could have kept us in Moses. We could have died with our brethren and left us in Egypt. And to Moses, they were saying the same rebellious thing, seemed like, way back in with Dathan Barren, and how they came about them with rebellion. Now, God nevertheless was not angry with the people. He merely commanded to take the rod. He merely commanded Moses to take the rod and speak to that rock that it might give water. Now, if you read the scripture carefully, God never said anything toward the people. All God was looking for was to satisfy the people's needs at that time, and told Moses, go get the rod, speak to the rock, and give water to the people. Now, that was his instruction. Now, Moses took the rod, which is a symbol of God's authority, in his hand. However, he was so provoked by anger that he called the people rebels, and then, ignoring God's command, he smote the rock twice with the rod. He erred, yet the water still flowed out of the rock. Even though Moses erred, God's still not going to let Moses prevent his will from being done, even though his will got perverted. Now, I got to say it again. Even though Moses disregarded God's order and got angry with the people, instead of speaking to the rock like God commanded Moses, he struck the rock twice, and he misrepresented God. Even though he misrepresented God, God, through his mercy toward the people, never allowed Moses to prevent his will from being done. I think I said it right that time. Moses never prevented God's will from being done. Nobody can prevent God's will. Might try to alter it a little bit, which God's not pleased with. And you saw it in the scriptures here that God was not pleased with Moses' action. But Moses let his anger got before him and the people. And his anger was not God's attitude. His anger was not God's anger at that time. I guess sometime he had been dealing with the people for so long, he forgot that he wasn't totally the one make all the decisions. Sometimes it looked like he figured he had room to do things and react on his own. You're never to react on your own. Even through your anger, you have to find out what the will of the Lord is. Now, here, God had to still allow the water to flow out of the rock. Because of this, God reprimanded his servant, saying, you did not believe me. Read that 20th chapter. What God said, you didn't believe me? In other words, you didn't trust me enough to do what I said. If you would have did what I said, you could have went to the promised land before the people. You would have took them all the way from Egypt. My goodness. You don't want to take the people from Egypt and not see the land. My goodness. He saw the land, but his foot would not be able to tread on that land. You don't want to start out and don't finish up right. The more folks say, it's not how you start, but how you finish. But yet God still had mercy on Moses. Even though Moses followed him all his life, God said in the 11th chapter of Numbers that Moses, one of the most honorable men I have. But yet Moses made a mistake here. Just because God chooses you, that don't mean that God gonna put up with everything you do. As great as Moses was, God still had to make some some results to his action. Now, this is a mighty powerful lesson here, class. And you got to see this. I want you to see this. God had to reprimand Moses. It meant that Moses had not set God apart from himself and Aaron. Now, what did that statement mean? It meant that Moses had not set himself apart, had not set God apart from himself. In other words, when the people see you as an authority, they see God in you, and they see God with you. Moses had been leading them for, a long time, over 30 years. And so when they look at Moses, they saw God. He was the only God they ever saw. But yet, Moses, when he made this statement and made this action, he should have separated himself from God to the people. So the people could recognize, this is Moses, but this is not God. Because your action should reflect God's action, not God's action reflect your action. God's not going to follow your action. God, you got to follow God's action. And so Moses erred because he never separated and set himself apart from God at that time. I remember Apostle Paul makes statements sometime in the New Testament. He will separate himself from God. He said, this is not the Lord, but this is me saying this. Paul knew something. He will not say things that God didn't say. He was very careful. If you read, I think, the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you're talking about marriage, and you say, this is not, God doesn't command it, but I'm saying it by permission. He separated himself from God to let you know that God might not be saying this, but I've hung around God long enough. By revelation, I believe this is what God said. Are you with me, Claire? Now, we get into some water that Moses had to walk through. Now, it meant that Moses had not set God apart from himself and Aaron. He had misrepresented God, for it was of himself that he had a wrong spirit and had thus spoken wrong and smote wrongfully. You see it? It was Moses doing. God had nothing to do with it. That was not God's reaction at all. That wasn't God's will toward the people. That was not what God wanted the people to see. God wanted the people to see his mercy, his grace, his holiness. And that's why God going to say something to Moses, what he said. He said, you're misrepresenting me, Moses. You did not sanctify the people before me. They were supposed to see this awesome God and not Moses. Moses called them rebels. And Moses said, you rebels, you. He said, I'm about to make water come out. They saw him. I'm about to make water. No, Moses, no, you couldn't make no water come out of no rock. He said, I'm about to make water come out of this rock for you. You rebels, you. He was angry. That's why he said those things. But he should have set his anger apart from God. He got vexed with the people. He should not have let the people vex him and got apart from what God's actions and reaction was. Make sure you have the same reaction God had. Make sure you know what God wants to say. Just separate yourself. When the people begin to vex Moses, he should have separated himself and find out what God wants, what your reaction toward this is. And God may have said, have mercy upon them. Jesus could have retaliated on that cross. But you know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus could have got angry and retaliated in his own mind, but Jesus would not separate himself from the will of God on that cross. Jesus could have come down off of that cross. But he would not, because, you know, the Father would not have been satisfied with his action. But Jesus reacted with the will of God. And he followed. Oh, Jesus followed God's will from beginning to the end. That's why God highly exalted him. You see it? And giving him a name which above every class. I hope you see what I'm trying to say. Don't take God's will. No, I said that wrong. Don't take your will and try to make it God's will. Don't try to take God's place. I hope you hear me. And so he gave the people of Israel a wrong impression about God. Now, can you see it now, Claire? Moses gave the people of Israel a wrong impression about God. God wanted to see a loving father that take care of his children. Now, you got children of your own. Sometimes they spat, they holler, they cry, they scream in rebellion because of what they want. But sometimes, you know, they just don't know better sometimes. And so a loving parent, a loving parent is going to have mercy upon their children. And that's what God wanted them to see. You know, it wasn't a time for chastisement for the people now. It wasn't time for Moses to chastise the people. The people were hungry. Were starving for water. The animals probably were dragging their feet. And so God knew what they needed. And so God was going to give them what they needed in spite of their reaction. But Moses let the people make his reaction full of anger and stirred up his emotion. And he responded to the people out of Moses and not God. And so what he did was he gave the wrong impression about God, as though God was fierce and reviling and lacking grace. My goodness. I'm going to read that again. He gave the people a wrong impression about him, as though God was fierce and reviling and lacking in grace. Oh, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we all would be destroyed. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, we all would be destroyed, because we all come short and misrepresent God sometimes. But just don't misrepresent God and act as though God telling you to do certain things. No, separate yourself. Separate yourself. If you're going to misrepresent God, separate yourself. Make sure they see you and know that's not God. You see how important it is that leaders, that we don't misrepresent the Father? Now, to be an authority is to represent God. I'm going to say it again. To be an authority is to represent God. And Moses' job was to represent God in everything he did, even in his emotion. You're supposed to, oh my goodness. Even in your emotion, you're supposed to represent God. Let God tell you how to react. What do you mean? Let God tell you, don't be angry, have mercy upon him. Let God tell you, don't get vexed, just keep loving him. Let God be your response before you respond, before you find out what God wants. I'm teaching a good lesson, class. Not my lesson, but out of this book. It's a good class here. I'm not saying because of me, but if you follow these instructions here, you'll go a long way with God. You don't want to do 99% of God's will and miss the end. No. Show God love and grace. Respond like God responds. But first find out how God wants to respond. Oh, I'm gonna say it again. Always find out how God wants to respond before you react in your own emotion. Always find out how God wants to respond first, before you respond. It will save you. See, the Bible said this was written for our own admonition. So we don't fall down the same trail. We don't walk down the same trail. We don't make the same mistakes that others make. That's what these lessons are for. So you don't make these mistakes. And we could find out that even though God reprimanded Moses for this, we can find out that he could have changed his response. What do you mean? He could have changed his response. Let's go a little further and find out. Let's find out right now how he could have changed his response. To be an authority to represent God, whether it be in wrath or mercy, an authority must always be like God. What does that mean? Authority should always respond like God. But you can't respond like God unless you know how God wants to respond. Find out first how you're supposed to respond. Whenever you're dealing with to judge a matter among God's people, Find out how God wants to deal with it before you deal with it upon your own accord, or because you try to deal with it because you saw somebody else deal with it the same way. You can't deal with it. You can't copy. You can't carbon copy how one person or one pastor, one leader, or dealt with a situation, and you tried that. Well, how did you deal with it? Well, no, find out how God wants to deal with it. What did you say? What did you do? No, find out what God wants to say at this particular time and what you want to and what he wants to do. So you can respond according to the will of God for that. Every situation is different. Are you with me? This is a wonderful lesson here. That whether it be in wrath or mercy, an authority must always be like God. If in such a position we do anything wrong, we should acknowledge it is our own doing. Now that's what I'm trying to talk about, class. Even if you, in such a position we do anything wrong, like the act of Moses did, we should acknowledge it is our own doing. What do you mean? Repent. Say, look, this is not God, this is me. I just got angry and I handled the situation wrong. Even with your children. I know I've done it wrong. I responded wrong to my children, and God corrected me, and I had to go back to my children. I said, look, I handled you wrong. Because you represent God to your children. They see you, they figure they've sinned against God. But sometimes they sin against you. But you never separate yourself from God. But if you got good wisdom, you say, look, I didn't handle them. Even your wife. He said, honey, I didn't handle that situation right. Forgive me. I thought I was doing the right thing, but that was me. That wasn't God. And that's how you get released. That's how you get released from our human side error. Are you with me, class? There's a human side of error. You see it? And God's going to correct your human side of error if you don't correct it before him, because we're representing God in the matter. Oh, I hope this will get over to you. We ought never draw God into our own fault. I hope you understand that. We must never draw God into our own fault, our own shortcoming, our own mistake, our own misrepresentation of God, our human side. Don't draw God into your human side, because God is not going to be with your human side. God always follow his will. And if your will ain't connected with God's will, then you operate in your human side. And there's emotion in your human side. There's anger, there's vexation. Now, I say this with Samuel. When Saul didn't obey God in his authority position, Samuel find out how God wanted to respond. And he found out that God was vexed with Saul's action. And God told Samuel, he did not obey me. And because God was vexed, he vexed God because he should have obeyed him and slay all the Amalekites. Like, utterly killed them all. He didn't do God's will. But yet I read the Bible say Samuel was vexed all night. Why was he vexed all night? Because God was vexed. God was vexed with Saul, so Samuel became vexed. Even though Samuel loved Saul, Samuel may have, watch me now, if God hadn't shown his will towards Samuel, towards Saul, Samuel may have overlooked Saul's mistake. But the prophet Samuel caught a hold of what God's will was for Saul. And Samuel had to follow what God was, and he vexed Samuel all night. That Saul disobeyed God. He probably couldn't sleep all night trying to discern. And then even after God separated Samuel, oh, what a wonderful lesson. Even after God separated Samuel, Samuel grieved for Saul. Why? Because he loved Saul. Sometimes authority got to do things they don't want to do. And that's why you can't let your human side get too connected to God's will and God's people. Because you got to correct people that you love. Yeah. Because you got to do what God said. Whether you can't get too close to him. Apostle told me a long time ago. He said, Ronald, always keep an arm's length from people. Don't get close, too close to no one, because you may have to correct them. You get too buddy-buddy, too friendly-friendly with them, then you got to go correct them. And so Samuel was close to Saul. And God asked Samuel, how long are you going to grieve for Saul? Seeing I'm the one rejecting him, not you. He had to help Samuel. He had to help Samuel. Samuel was grieving for Saul because he didn't want to do it with God. He did it, but sometimes it grieved him to do it. Oh, man, he didn't want to do it. And sometimes you may have to experience something that Samuel experienced. But the Bible says after that, and I never forgot that lesson, after that they say Samuel was in God's presence, Samuel put himself in Saul's presence no more. No more went among Saul. Because God separated himself from Saul. So Samuel had to separate himself from Saul. So whoever God separated himself from, you better separate yourself from. So I made my mind up. Whoever apostle separated himself from, because God separated them, now I'm separating likewise. Whoever my apostle separated with, I'm separated. I don't care how good a friend. I had a good friend I had to separate from. So good a friend that he christened my baby daughter. Yeah, that was close. That was close. Went on vacation every year. I mean, almost slept at each other's houses because our kids and all were the same age. And that was a hard lesson for me to learn. And so when he separated himself from apostle, my goodness, years of a relationship had to be severed and broken. It wasn't an easy thing I had to do. But I know I couldn't continue being a friend with him. I know I could. I love him from a distance. And some kind of way God made him understood that. But it's the whole truth, nothing but truth, so help me God. I'm not going to finish this lesson, but I hope I stayed enough to get you into what God is saying. It is such a position, if we do anything wrong, we should acknowledge it as our own doing. We ought to never draw God into our own fault because Moses misrepresented God. He had to be judged. If anyone in authority misrepresents God and does not confess it, God will have to vindicate himself. My goodness. You got to get it straight before God. Say, God, Lord, I misrepresented you. And you got to get it right with God and the people. The people need to know that you wasn't representing God properly at that time. And so God can be glorified. So God can be represented in his holiness. And you don't take glory from God. And God will be seen among the people. And God's glory be seen among the people. You never want to take God's glory from the people and God will be done among the people. God wants to be glorified. And Moses took that from God. He took God's glory from him because God wanted to be glorified before his people, saying, I take care of my own children. And God didn't get that with Moses at that time. True, the people had murmured. And perhaps their attitude had been rebellious. Nevertheless, God had not judged them. How could Moses be so impatient as to judge them before God did? Oh, my goodness. But most likely, the people of Israel got the impression that it was God's attitude and God's wrath. You see, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. It was God's act of mercy, not God's act of judgment. Hence, God had to acquit himself by separating himself from Moses and Aaron. Now, let us be careful that we never draw God into human failure by giving the wrong impression that he is expressing his attitude to us. My goodness. I got 43 seconds. Enough time to read this one more time. Let us be careful that we never draw God into human failure by giving the wrong impression that he is expressing his attitude through us. Well, Claire, what a wonderful statement that was. So God wants to be represented correctly, and we should not let our human reaction be the response that God is giving. Separate yourself from God at that time and let the people know this is your reaction and this is not God's reaction. This is my human failure. and repent, get it right before God and the people. Well, class, you've been in good class, and I wish I could have said more. Amen.